point, as far as I'm concerned, I think a majority of people under the age of 35 probably agree that the government has not earned our trust at this
they
point.
Haven't so they haven't earned a semblance of our trust.
No, they haven't earned the right to say, just trust us, we'll make it good for you.
No.
So they don't get to do that now.
Oh, yeah, I read an article, everybody's saying that the millennials are the entitled generation, right? Like, oh, yeah, we're so entitled, we're not going to work, we're not going to do, you know, we're
raised us.
Oh, yeah. No, I read an article that said, as written by a millennial, it said, we're not the entitled generation, you guys are. Yeah. You're the ones that thought that you could spend up $17 trillion worth of debt, you know, and give yourself more tax breaks, fund wars. You elected the people that you elected, yeah. And you're going to leave all this to us, and you're calling us entitled?
We're the ones who couldn't vote
yeah.
when the economic collapse happened yeah. in 2008. I mean,
that's right.
Most millennials were not able to elect any politicians. So if you really want to know who's in, I mean, people blame millennials for a lot of stuff, but if you really want to look at the cause, look at the people who raised those millennials, who created the world we now live in.
Well, yep.
Well, we're just about out of time here, but I got one final thought about the TPP. It passed through the Senate, and that's the scary part.
Yep.
Thankfully, the House had better sense. And they voted it down. But the fight's not over. The House could revive it. They could take another vote, and it could pass. And if you're listening and you don't want some secret agenda from corporate, the rich I hesitate to call it corporate America, the rich
yep.
multinational corporations, if you don't want their agenda going through, call your congressman. Tell them to vote down the TPP and tell them to vote down the fast track.
Particularly Ron Wyden, who is our Oregon senator who still supports the TPP.
That's right.
Yep.
All right, everyone, thanks for listening to Labor Radio. Have a fantastic evening, and we'll see you next week.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
KPOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor for ALEC Expo's film screening and workshop on June 18th, 7 p.m. at the First Unitarian Church in Portland. ALEC, the American Legislators Exchange Council, is a corporate-directed organization which writes model legislation for state legislatures around the nation that is beneficial to multinational corporations. Secretive corporate-directed and funded organizations like ALEC undermine the principles of citizens participating in democratic processes. ALEC Expos explain how ALEC functions, who is involved, and how to fight back to promote democratic, non-corporate values. Again, that's ALEC Expos, June 18th at 7 p.m. at the First Unitarian Church on Southwest 12th and Salmon in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see...
They won't build no schools anymore. All they build will be prison, prison. They won't build no schools anymore. All they build will be prison, prison. They won't build no schools anymore.
Good evening. Greetings and welcome to Prison Pipeline. I'm your host, Adam Carpinelli. Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration. This evening, we are here with a couple local activists talking about some recent projects and things that are happening in context of the police sweeps. So we're going to do a quick go around, and folks are going to introduce themselves and the organizations that they work with.
I'm Kate Easley with the Portland Anarchist Black Cross. Co-sponsor of the Fight the Sweeps campaign.
I'm Keith Davis from Multnomah County Cop Watch. I also work with Film the Police Portland, Gresham Cop Lock, and a bunch of other Cop Watch organizations in the Portland Anarchist Black Cross.
And I'm Theodore Gilder. I'm with Right to Dream 2, and I'm a new advocate out here in Portland.
Thanks so much for being on tonight, y'all. And what's going on with the sweeps? What are sweeps, first off, for our listeners who might not be even familiar with that term?
Basically, the homeless are constantly getting swept from place to place, and that's an ongoing campaign by the mayor and the city and the Portland Business Alliance and all the business and corporate interests in this town. But especially during the Rose Parade and a lot of the summer festivals, they really ramp it up and just kick people from the furthest depths of society even further to, you know, they basically have just been using the cops as like sleep deprivation patrols, going around making sure people aren't getting any sleep or have any sense of a home or a home base or any place where they feel safe. They don't basically know where to go. They're totally confused and running around from spot to spot. The cops keep giving them conflicting information, telling them to go one place and they'll be safe, but then they eventually just show up there about a week later or so. So there's really no safe place for the homeless, and you know, there needs to be a lot more places like Right to Dream too. And I'll let someone else talk now.
Yeah, I mean, with this specific campaign, first got word on May 23rd that Charlie Hales was going to do a very intensive sweep, one of the heaviest ones that he'd done in a couple years, I think, since 2013 was the last heavy one. And so basically there's a special police unit that drove around on ATVs to the different camps, entrenched camps, they call them, in Inner Southeast, a lot, mostly on the Rose Parade route, and just, you know, told people that they had 24 hours to leave, but they didn't really have any place to go, and they were supposed to be directed to social services, because that's actually part of the law when you're evicting a camp, but they really just gave them a one piece of paper, and, you know, social services are really exhausted right now financially, and there's a huge waiting list for people to get a shelter, and they have to, if they have a partner, they can't be in the same place with them. If they have a pet, they can't bring their pet, and there's a lot of rules and restrictions on people's ability to get in.
So some of y'all have been around for some of the sweeps. You've seen them, you've been helping to film them, to bear witness to them, to fight against them. Can we talk a little bit about, like, what does it actually look like on the ground? You know, so he explained a little bit what, you know, kind of sweeps are, but like, what does that actually look like on the ground if you're experiencing this?
Me personally, Theodore, I got it secondhandedly from seeing a photograph of the PPD, and it looks like ASPC. They were come out to take the pets, and they're also taking the possessions and, you know, things of of the houseless people. Mm-hmm. And that, in being in relation to a IPR meeting I went to also, it's come to my knowledge or understanding that they're not only just taking these people's stuff, they're giving them a limited amount of time to come and receive it. Mm-hmm. And if they don't come and get it, then they don't have their stuff. But the problem is, with them stockpiling everybody's stuff together, mm-hmm. how am I going to find out where's my stuff at, and all the stuff that they're just using these inmates, for lack, you know, mm-hmm. inmates, mm-hmm. you know, whether they're county inmates or however, or SLAP program mm-hmm. Inmates, to move other people's stuff, and it's just bunched all together, and there's no way for me to find out where my stuff is amongst hundreds of other people. Mm-hmm. It's not like we have one or two homeless people and it's easy to say, hey, that's my stuff and that's the other guy's
right,
stuff.
Right.
This growing homeless thing is bigger than just saying that it's a few blocks, it's a few people. And I feel that this definitely needs to be addressed, because there is a more likelihood that you're going to see more homeless people if we don't get the proper attention that's needed mm-hmm. for mm-hmm. Being able to help people, not only just transition from being homeless to being houseless again, but also being functional, to where mm-hmm. the likelihood of them being homeless again is least likely, not two steps away or one right. miss, you know, mm-hmm. rent payment, and et cetera, et cetera.
Right. So on that, we have, for example, you know, immediate families, you know, parents with their children. We right. have extended families, street families. You know, all these people are either, you know, in some case moving around together or in contact or what have you. Obviously, this is leading to that further displacement of those people. Some people are getting maybe arrested and locked up. Some people, maybe they're they're getting sweeped, but maybe not arrested. What does that look like, the way that people are getting separated and displaced in that process?
It basically goes from a, you know, community where people have safety in numbers and different stuff like that, and some safeguards and friends and people to watch their back and keep them safe when they're sleeping, to everyone just being scattered amongst the city and basically, you know, being displaced from all their friends and their support networks. And, you know, a lot of the people are camped out kind of by the Hawthorne Bridge and the Morrison Street Bridge, so they can easily get across the bridges and access a lot of the city services and stuff like that. And basically it's a, you know, pushing a lot of people to the furthest reaches of the city where there aren't even any social services. So the mayor and the police saying that they basically are trying to sell this thing off as, we're not even doing homeless sweeps or raids. What are you talking about? We're actually just trying to clean up the city a little and connect these people with social services. Well, you want to know what? One of the main organizations that is involved with the Portland Police Bureau, which is also a social service agency, is JOIN. Mm-hmm. And they're notified by the police 24 hours before eviction notices even go up at homeless camps. They've been neglecting their duties to go out and tell people at homeless camps that they're going to be raided within the next 24 hours, and they've failed to go out and provide them any services, which they're supposed to do. So, you know, maybe some other people need to get notified, since JOIN are slacking on their duty. And I just saw about a week ago, they went with their handout to get another million and a half or so from City Hall, and I'm pretty sure they got approved like they usually do. But they're basically just poverty pimps, in my opinion. They do a lot of nonsense and make people. They go and they visit homeless camps and they give a lot of people these false promises, like, "Hey, we can provide you housing and all this stuff." Mm-hmm. And what happens is, some homeless person has to get up a $5 bus fare to go out to JOIN on 82nd Street to wait 3 hours in line to get a shower, or to maybe talk to a caseworker for 15 minutes. They're not actually driving around people, or, you know, trying to, that they might actually provide people with some rent resources, but they're not going to drive you around and help you find a place. So when you're living on the streets, you aren't even getting proper showers and stuff, and you know, you're trying to hold it together. They should be doing a lot more than what they're doing, and they get a lot more money than they should be for what they for what they actually do. And the fact that they're not even visiting these homeless camps when they have a direct line with the police that tell them 24 hours before they even post eviction notices, and they're not even doing the basics, like going down and telling people that they're going to be evicted and give them some pre-warning and offer them some social services, you know? Like, they're passing out these little pamphlets to the police that have about, you know, maybe 10, 15 resources on them. And, you know, I was watching my friend Mike Bluehair from Film the Police's video recently, and it's funny that they had their little pamphlet, and it was placed... It's a nice little green pamphlet with about 20 resources of mainly people that are strapped and can't really do much for people for the most part. And, you know, it was sitting right next to a nice AR-15 rifle, you know. And the police have been blocking members of police accountability people that work with COAB. They've been blocking cop watchers. They put up crime scene tape on Friday at one of the biggest homeless camps. And that was the same day that in the city they're putting up, everyone gets to set up tents all along the parade route on the busiest, you know, well, right around OMSI in that neighborhood across the way by the 99 bridge and stuff and the Goodwill and stuff. They blocked off a homeless camp with crime scene tape and wouldn't even let members of the media, members of outreach agencies, and people that have been working with these people and embedded as journalists into the story. So,
So what you're talking about is that the city is responding in very negative ways to people who are actually responding, in a sense, to the sweeps, trying to do something about it. So let's get into that. What's going on the ground? What are people doing? You mentioned a few things: cop watching, film the cops. You know, there's homeless advocacy organizations that are outside of kind of the nonprofit industrial complex, kind of mainstream, you know, like Right to Survive. And so what does that look like, and how can people kind of plug into this stuff too?
Well, with the Fight the Sweeps campaign, which is also sponsored by Multnomah County Cop Watch and Don't Shoot Portland and Right to Survive, it's basically we passed out and hung up flyers with a phone number on it. It's like a houseless alert line to let individuals know if you're being kicked out of where you're camping. So that phone number is 971-533-8210. And so once a call comes in, then if you're on the alert list, which to get on the alert list, you text at Fight the Sweeps to the number 23559. So if you do this, you will get an alert that says, at this location, the police are here sweeping people off of their campsite. And so then when the sweeps were really intense right before the Rose Parade, we had people go down there and basically make sure the 24-hour notice was given and film the cops in action. And, you know, we actually, you know, caught the inmate work crews had, you know, inadequate gloves. And so an OSHA complaint was filed and they got better gloves through this. We also found that the city had hired a private cleaning company called Positive Action Cleaning to basically take people's stuff without permission. So that was, and they weren't tagging it or anything. So people said, well, you need to tag these items. And so it's good to get people out and watch what's going on, definitely.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Prison Pipeline on KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. And we are here with some local activists talking about the Portland sweeps, Portland cops going out and sweeping up, sweeping out, or trying to squash houseless communities, specifically in downtown Portland and other parts of, you know, outer southeast and what have you. And we're just hearing about the phone numbers that you can call and text. And so can you repeat those one more time? Mm-hmm. Make sure people were probably just maybe grabbing a pen or what have you.
So the alert phone number, if you see a camp getting swept or if you personally, your campsite is getting swept, is 971-533-8210. And to get on the text alert list, it is at Fight the Sweeps, so you text that all together, all lowercase, to 23559.
Great. Okay.
Yeah, and going back on the Rose Festival, right after they did one of the sweeps was like maybe a few days before the Rose Festival, and we end up having R2D2 and Right to Survive. We end up having our picture tent, which we noticed was a lot of people who got displaced, got their stuff taken from them from the sweeps a few days prior. Mm-hmm. And it's me being a very empathetic being, loving people, period. Mm-hmm. Seeing that they didn't have anything and they came to us just for a tent for that day event, it's like really heartbreaking, because no one should be homeless. That's a reality, you know? We're too smart of a country, and we have too many brilliant minds out there for homelessness to be, you know, a part of our vocabulary. If anything, it's supposed to be a past definition. And with that being said, I'm very thankful for having the opportunity to be on the radio, and two, for being part of R2S and R2D2 and their supporters, because of the fact that what they're doing is good work, it's definitely necessary to be done here.
Can anybody briefly just talk for a minute, just, you know, especially for any listeners like not familiar with this, but like Portland actually has one of the higher rates of houselessness per capita. What does that mean? Why is that? What does houselessness look like kind of in Portland, as far as maybe just talking about the landscape of it, aside from even just the sweeps that are going on?
It's kind of a variety of people, from, you know, homeless vets to homeless families, and there's actually supposedly around 16,000 homeless people in Portland, and a lot of them are actually, you know, sleeping on people's couches, or they might have money for a hotel. A lot of homeless people pool their resources together and live in a motel with five or six people paying $40 a night. You know, there's lots of different scenarios, from you know, like, some people are totally mentally ill and sleep out with no bedding or anything, even in the middle of the winter, you know. So there's definitely a wide variety of people and situations, you know. And I've been homeless before myself. I was homeless on and off in this town for about 10 years. And I actually just recently got into housing myself in December. And so I know a lot of this stuff firsthand. And I actually did a lot of filming myself when I was homeless and in the in various camps, and my various encounters with the police. So I've been filming the police as a homeless person or a house person, and that's kind of been going on for about 15 years with me. So basically, there's a kind of a real wide variety of people, you know, that are houseless. And, you know, a lot of people might look like they're in houses, but they're actually homeless, or, you know, couch surfing, or living with relatives, sleeping in a garage. You know, there's definitely a lot of people that don't appear to be homeless that actually are in this town.
Does anybody else want to say anything more kind of on that subject? What about the so you mentioned, I mean, there's the number to call and things of that nature. You know, there's, you know, kind of social media out there. You also mentioned something that's very important, which is the idea of cop watching, which is something that, you know, really anybody can do these days. You know, if you have even a pretty junky phone, you know, you probably got a, maybe you got a camera on there or something, or a way to take some video and audio and stuff. And because I know some of y'all are doing that, and it's very interesting. Also, in the way that the interactions that come out with the police, you know, the way that they're reacting to it, you know, it's very apparent they do not like to be filmed, even though it's, you know, totally people's rights. I understand. I think you had a camera taken recently. So can we talk a little bit about
cop watching? I had a camera smashed by a mayor from Waterloo, Oregon. That was after I got in a confrontation with Charlie Hales and was talking about the sweeps and how two people have died since the sweep started, including a veteran who was a sober guy. He did a lot of community service. He's actually a friend of a friend of mine. And, you know, and this guy, Greg E. Moss, the Waterloo mayor, he attacked me during my little rant to Charlie Hales about the homeless, you know. So, but I don't know. A lot of the problems, too, are these people like Charlie Hales and a lot of these social agencies are basically like maggots feasting on the innards of society, you know. They're cashing in on homeless people, and homeless people are basically like a resource in this town. And, you know, I can say that easily 25% of the police budget to 50% of the police budget is spent just harassing the homeless and making them leave doorways, or because they're drinking in public, or they urinated in public, you know. God forbid that homeless people have to use their bodily functions like normal people, you know, or get a night's sleep. So it's kind of, you know, a lot of the problems could be solved. We have a 37% vacancy rate of, like, foreclosure houses around here, which could easily be bought by the city, and you could put low-income people, homeless people, all kinds of people in there. I've presented these ideas to the mayor. You know, the thing is these people are making so much money by having this crisis capitalism war on the homeless thing that they don't want to solve the problem. They want homelessness. We are a product. The homeless people in this city and a lot of other cities are a product, and That's the crisis capitalist role model that's operating in America today, and that's why we have such a rotting empire of a country.
Mm-hmm. The shock doctrine, if you will.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, we would rather put people in prison than help them get housing or get connected with mental health resources or addiction resources, and we're putting, you know, people who have substance abuse problems in prison at extremely high rates, and people with mental health issues resulting from like past abuse and you know, traumatic things in their life, and you know, spend $3 billion a year in Oregon on our prison system, yet we can't, you know, house people or give them enough food, and there's a lot of money wasted, and the cops don't necessarily want to be doing this. They I've heard many say, I don't want to be I don't want to be a psychiatrist, I don't want to be a social worker, I don't want to be doing this, and we're forcing, and we're spending all the money on these, you know, special police units, when it's like, clearly it's not working. Clearly it's actually counterproductive. So
Brayton, you're at the end of the program. So I was going to ask if we could do kind of a, you know, general wraparound, in the sense that there are people listening right now who might be experiencing houselessness, and or the sweeps themselves are already victimized or targeted because of the sweeps. We have people who are listening who maybe want to engage civically, if you will, and maybe do what they can. Maybe they're not going to, you know, pick up a camera and do cop watching per se on the ground. Can we kind of go around and just talk about what are the different resources, you know, for the houseless community? What are resources for people generally to, like, check out some of these great videos that y'all have been making, to know what's going on with the cops and stuff? And then from there, what are maybe some organizations that are also kind of just doing the support work on the ground and or, you know, social media? So whoever wants to.
Well, I'm sorry. R2D2, you can find that on, you can follow us on Facebook, and that would be Right to Dream, and that it's Right the number 2 Dream TOO2. That's how you say that. From there you can get our contact information. You can see what we've been doing as an organization to make things better. We are also located on 4th Street and Burnside in the south part of Portland.
Mm-hmm. Southwest
part of Portland. And there's information provided there, and the people in which we are sponsored by, where their avenue in which they can bring information to us, so therefore we can share it with you.
Mm-hmm. Great, thanks.
Well, the Portland Anarchist Black Cross website is pdxabc.com, and then we have a Facebook page where we update with what we're doing in terms of a lot of direct action stuff. Is pdxabc, I think, on Facebook, or Portland ABC, or Portland Anarchist Black Cross. You can find it on Google as the only organization with that name. So, yeah.
Okay, and how about Multnomah County Cop Watch or Film the Cops?
You can find Multnomah County Cop Watch. I have a YouTube channel. There isn't that many videos posted right now. Or you can go to the Facebook and join the group there. And then we also have the Fight the Sweeps page that we're all involved with. And that's an ongoing campaign. And you could look at videos on Mike Bluehair's channel, Film the Police Portland. He's done a lot of stuff. There's a good video, Portland Homeless Apartheid, that's a good video. And there's a recent one that he just posted today about the homeless camps being raided. And basically, you can go to the Film the Police Portland Facebook page, or look for Film the Police Portland on YouTube. And we all basically have Facebook pages. And one thing I wanted to say too is
go ahead.
A lot of the stuff we were doing, when we were filming the police, we actually got a lot of homeless people involved in starting to film the police themselves. And we actually told them too, you know, that break out your camera, even if you don't have any battery or whatever, just break out your phone and make them think you're filming, because that will keep them accountable. When I was in the you know, when I was homeless, I'd break out my phone or my camera, and a lot of the times the police would totally behave differently, and half the time they would just leave us alone because they didn't want to be under the scrutiny of a camera. So if you're homeless, break out your camera and start filming these guys, because that's one of your best best protections.
Cool. Well, thanks y'all so much. You've been listening to Prison Pipeline on KBOO Portland. Next week, Karen James will interview Nova Sweet and Melissa Vitellaro, both recently released from Coffee Creek Correctional Facility and participated in the Family Preservation Project that was canceled by Oregon Department of Corrections last year. So they'll be talking about trying to get those things back up and running. Listen to this and previous Prison Pipeline programs at kboo.fm/prisonpipeline. Like Prison Pipeline on Facebook. I want to thank our excellent engineer over here, Mike, hooking up the music tonight. Awesome. Thanks, man. We'll be doing that again for sure. And I want to thank all of our guests. Again, a few things we can maybe throw out real quick. You know, Right to Survive, Portland Anarchist Black Cross, Portland Film the Cops, Multnomah County Cop Watch. Look them up on Facebook. They're on Google or what have you. You can get their websites. Can we give the number maybe one more time for the sweeps? And then we'll close out.
971-533-8210 and text at fight the sweeps to 23559.
All right. You heard it here on KBOO. Have a great night. We'll see you next week.
Women recently released from Coffee Creek Correctional Facility, where we were in a program called the Family Preservation Project, which helped our children stay connected to us and taught us how to parent. The Department of Corrections chose to cancel the Family Preservation Project. Tune in to Prison Pipeline to hear how you can help us flip the switch.